as it dawned the morning. There were thunders and lightning. A great cloud settled on the mountain. The people trembled as they heard the voice of Elohim's own words. A sound of
Shalom Aleichem Mishpacha. This is Todd Tamer here with Paradigm Shift, and thank you again so much for joining us today. And as always, we want to give all glory, thanksgiving, hope, praise, honor, and everything in and of ourselves to our Father of our forefathers, Yahuwah Elohim, who sits in the heaven of heavens with our King, Yahushua HaMashiach, sitting at his right hand, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool.
Yahuwah, atachonen le'adam da'at, umlamed le'inosh binah. Chanenu mi'itcha de'abina ve'haskel. Baruch atah Yahuwah chonen hada'at. Yahuwah, you grant man knowledge and teach insight to human beings. Endow us graciously from you with knowledge, insight, and wisdom. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, the giver of knowledge. And in that statement, we look forward to being the captives that are set free.
Hallelujah. Every day in the heart, Torah heart walk of Messiah, who the living word made flesh and to walk this earth correctly, righteous in righteousness and right ruling of the hearts and minds, bodies, and souls of himself and men. That's what he was teaching in that, in keeping the times, signs, and seasons of our Abba.
So if you don't get your heart matters right, if you don't walk with the proper heart, you can walk Torah all you want, and it is an illusion, and you will do damage, and you will become a betrayer of the brethren. That's right. You will be a divider. If you don't get your heart matters straight, you will be a divider.
You are the key to the sorcery of the strong delusion over all the minds of men on the earth, which most are going to fall prey to and be deceived by.
That's right. Hallelujah.
So with that said, we are beginning, this is the beginning of our shows on the blood red moons.
That we promised,
and the history behind it. We're going to go through a lot of history first, and in the middle of that, we'll be talking about the so-called signs that have been calculated and placed upon on the Jewish calendar to align with these easily predictable and calculable from Babylon blood red moons.
That's right. This is sorcery. That's what we're trying to warn you. This is not something for you to get giddy about and go following after people over. We're asking you to take your thoughts captive under Torah HaMashiach. We are not to follow men. We are to do our own research diligently and have our own authority over our meeting times with Abba. Seek him on these things.
Be a member of the kingdom.
Yes.
Not the member of Babylon. So we got to come out of Babylon. So we're going to be talking a lot about that and the whole history and root of where how we got to where we are at today in this strong delusion.
Now, why are we talking about the blood red moons right now?
There's a lot of coverage in faith-based ministries surrounding the blood red moons occurring in 2014 and 15. And we want to investigate for ourselves what all this means rather than just accepting the official line being presented. Let us discern for ourselves. Is it possible that there is some deception afoot? Is this an egregore to draw energy towards something? Is it a device by evil men being led by evil spirits to deceive people into following their calendar and give more power and control to them? Is it a device to prepare the people for a false second coming? Is it aligned to ancient occult practices?
We say yes to all of those.
And you're going to be convinced of that by the time we get done with this series.
That's right. So, you know, listen and
we're doing
understand
the work for you, and we're going to have this. We're putting all this into one paper of all of our sources and that where we've gotten it from. And if you want it, you can
request it.
Request us. Request it. Go ahead, Mom.
At petranch@dishmail.net or Todd or Tamara at HebrewNation.net. And we'll get you put on a list for the request so that when it's finalized, we'll send that paper to you and document everything that we're about to say to you.
Mm-hmm. And this is in connection with the judge.
the Judge Dale paper, The Secrets of America,
mm-hmm.
and the Rabbi Marvin Antleman paper, the actual books that he put out to eliminate the mm-hmm. opiate, which the opiate is religion.
It's what Plato called religion. And then their religion of Satanism comes from Aristotle and Plato, which comes from the Greek Hermes, and then going back to the teachings of the Raphaim, or possibly Nephilim, Thoth, going back into Egypt. And then it traces back to Nimrod at the Tower of Babel and us getting off the boat.
So Rabbi Marvin Antleman, he is the Jewish Chief Justice of the Jewish Supreme Court of America. He's the first modern Jewish rabbi to expose the modern agenda of the Jewish Sabbateans. So we have been reading to you from the papers of a judge over Ephraim and a judge over Yehuda. And both of these men are revealing the same exact information, the same illusion and deception of the wolves in sheep's clothing that have perpetuated the illusion you right now adhere to and we are coming out of.
Of what it boils down to is Sabbatean Satanism, and they call it by many, many names. It could be Protestant Satanism. It could be Catholic Satanism. They take on every sheep's clothing that they present before us and are the heads and the leaders of that. Just recently, this past week, the Queen of England was meeting with the Pope, who is her relative from Edward the Confessor. And what that meeting was proclaiming was is that the Queen is the power, the Queen of Heaven over this earth, and her bloodline with the lapis lazuli.
Lazuli
orb that she was given with the four sabbat quarter crown of King Edward the Confessor on top of this stone that looks like the globe.
Earth.
We know that scripture says that Satan will attempt to mount his throne over the earth in the north. And Yah says in scripture that he's the one that sits there in the heaven of heavens above the earth and determines all things upon the earth.
So
and the evils that come upon this earth, like with the Queen of England and the Pope and these Sabbateans, they're not Jews, they are not Catholics, they are not Christians, they are Luciferians first and foremost, and they have orchestrated this idea of peace in Israel, anti-Semitism, and holy Judaism above everything else in order to destroy the Jews and all religions on this planet.
That's
and
right.
The blood red moons are tied in with this because it's all tied together with time and calendar.
And it's whomever a strong calendar delusion.
Whatever calendar you hold, that is the God and gods that you worship. And those are the men that you owe your slavery to.
And that's a very profound meeting that happened between the king and the pope, because basically it consolidated
queen.
Power now. That's right, the queen. Mm-hmm. It consolidated power underneath that family, being
bloodline.
They're related. It's a family reunion right there. And so now all power has been brought to that bloodline, and that happened on April 3rd,
and what they are announcing to the world is the official bloodline, and they are endeavoring together in these machinations and this illusion in Israel today and around the world today with the economic collapse and all the rest, Malaysian disappearing airliners. It's all occult sorcery, but the main point of the Queen and the Pope getting together is that that's her Pope. She got him installed. She didn't have to wear black for the only time in the history.
Yep.
of the Catholic Church of anyone appearing before the Pope. Because she owns them, and they are a blood family, and they're determined to get their bloodline as the one world king to come.
And just as an interesting note, that April 3rd was actually the Pesach, if you're going according to watching and observing for yourself the times of the seasons of Abba's times and his Moedim, his appointed feasts.
That's the turn.
That was Pesach. April 3rd was the 14th day after the turn of the year.
That's our best study and understanding
right.
of what Yah's calendar
so
is. After you throw out the Gregorian, after you throw out the Hillel 2, the Jewish,
yep.
all these man-made calendars by stealing, killing, and destroying of blood of our people, and the Samaritans too, of the land, the annihilation of anything that is Torah or Brit Kadashah, anything that is Yeshua or Yahuwah that is in any person around the earth will not be able to be spoken of, and you won't be able to practice it at all in the world to come. And with this delusion that's going to be a sci-fi event over the land of Israel and over Jerusalem, most of the world will be deceived by this, and they will happily, your friends, your family, your cohorts, your co-workers will happily turn you in for doing anything of these old destructive ways that caused all the destruction on the earth, which they're about to release upon you in the right order and righteousness, because Yah controls all evil to test us and to judge us.
Now, here's an article called The Satanic Cult That That Rules the World by Henry Mackay. Now, he wrote this October 16, 2007, but he just recently put it up again, like this past week, I think. And it's right in alignment with everything we're trying to tell you guys.
So we have several witnesses we're going to be reading to you from.
That's
many
right,
witnesses.
Several witnesses. Okay, quote, Deuteronomy 32:30. How can one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless Yah had delivered them into the enemy hands? Quote, either convert to Islam or die. This was the choice the Turkish Sultan put to Sabtai Zevi, self-proclaimed Jewish Messiah, in the year 1666. Now, this is the guy we were reading to you about out of Rabbi Marvin Antelman's book, To Eliminate the Opiate, okay? So now we're going to talk about him. By only pretending to convert, Zevi resorted to a common practice. But Zevi was not an ordinary Jew. He led a popular heresy based on a satanic strain of Kabbalism. The rabbis had denounced him and his followers. After his conversion, over 1 million followers, who later included financiers like the Rothschilds, imitated his example. But they didn't just pretend to be Muslims or Christians. They pretended to be Jews as well. Communist defector Bela Dodd revealed that during the 1930s, the Communist Party had 1,100 members join the Catholic priesthood. They became bishops, cardinals, and possibly popes. By adopting this chameleon strategy, this satanic cult infiltrated and subverted most governments and religions and established an invisible tyranny without drawing much attention. In the words of the gifted researcher Clifford Shack, quote, through infiltration, stealth, and cunning, this invisible network has come to rule us all. 41 years after Sabtai Zevi's death in 1717, they would infiltrate masonry guilds in England and establish Freemasonry. Zevi's successor, Jacob Frank, would have a great impact on the inner core of Freemasonry known as the Illuminati, formed in 1776. Freemasonry would become the hidden force behind events like the American, French, and Russian revolutions. Also, the creations of the United Nations and Israel, both world wars, including the Holocaust, and the assassinations of the Kennedy brothers, who, together with their father, tried to thwart the efforts of the network on American soil. Sabbatean Frankists, also referred to as, quote, the cult of the all-seeing eye, look on the back of your $1 bill to begin to understand their influence in your life.
Remember, it's a talisman.
Are political and religious chameleons. They're everywhere. There is power. They are the good guys and the bad guys. The World War II era is a prime example. The following leaders were members of the cult of the all-seeing eye, the Sabbatean Frankists: Franklin D. Roosevelt, Winston Churchill, Adolf Hitler, Eugenio Pacelli, Pope Pius XI, Francesco Franco, Benito Mussolini, Hirohito, and Mao Zedong.
And Warburg, and Rothschild, and
Morgan
today, and the Queen of England, and Obama, and Clinton, and the Bushes, and it goes on and on. And I just wanted to make one comment about the word Holocaust. Before the events that occurred in Nazi Germany, that they started calling it a Holocaust, which they rightly do so because they expected to sacrifice people.
It's going to mention it.
It's going to do it. It means burnt offering.
That's right. So here's the implication.
Stop calling it stop giving homage to their burnt offering.
You'll see
their
why.
Holocaust and bowing down to the ideas that they have written around that.
You'll see why in this article. Here's the implications. If Mr. Shack is correct, historians, educators, and journalists collaborate by upholding a false reality and distracting us from the truth. Our world, our perception of the human experience, are shaped by an occult secret society. Our culture is an elaborate psyop. This is what we've been telling you guys. Oh my gosh. Obviously, the Sabbateans and their descendants should consume our attention. Instead, they're hidden from view. They were decisive in the so-called Enlightenment, secularism, and modernism, which are our but baby steps to their Satanism. According to Rabbi Marvin Antelman, they believe sin is holy and should be practiced for its own sake. Since the Messiah will come when people either become righteous or totally corrupt, the Sabbateans opted for debauchery. Since we cannot all be saints, let us all be sinners. Their blasphemous benediction, quote, who permits the forbidden, later became the Illuminist, do as thou wilt, the expression of their religious feeling. Totally amoral, they believe the end justifies the means.
This is the root of Jesuits, the same thing as if you read the Jesuit Creed. It's the same thing of Hollywood, their witchcraft sorcery arm that gives you the strong delusion on the TV with its frequencies and flashings and programmings on a daily basis, and its cultural corruption and destruction. And it's the same as politics. Do as thou wilt. The ends justifies the means. So they take whatever action they want, and they become tyrants and kings over us.
So in 1756, Jacob Frank and his followers, they were excommunicated by the rabbis. Adelman says that the Sabbateans were behind the reform, liberal, and revolutionary movements of the 19th century. They were also behind the reform and conservative movements in Judaism, including the Haskalah, i.e. Jewish assimilation. In other words, Jews have been influenced by the Sabbateans and don't even know it. That is their tactic. They don't advocate a satanic kingdom. They gently steer you that way by questioning the existence of God, by demanding sexual liberation, independence for women, internationalism, diversity, and religious tolerance. These all have a hidden agenda to undermine all collective forces except our own. We are told free sex is progressive and modern. In fact, the Sabbatean sect has indulged in wife-sharing, sex orgies, adultery, and incest for more than 350 years. They also promoted interracial sex. They have partly inducted us into their cult. Anselm cites the proceedings of a rabbinical court where Shmuel, son of Shlomo, tearfully confessed he had rejected the Torah and had encouraged his wife to have sex several times with Herschel. I am guilty. She did not want to.
Sexual abandon is characteristic of communism, a direct outgrowth of Sabbateanism. Jacob Frank pimped his beautiful wife to recruit influential men. Female members of the Communist Party were used in the same way. Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Illuminati, got his sister-in-law pregnant. This is a direct identifier, the fruit of Canaanite seed lines, that they intermarry and they among their own family bloodlines, and because they want the golden fleece, holy grail to come all the way through to raise up that one new world order king, which the queen and the pope just did a whole charade on April 3rd. A pertinent antidote in his book, The Other Side of Deception, Mossad defector Victor Ostrovsky described how the Mossad relax. At a party, the staff, including many unmarried young females, congregated around a pool, totally naked. Okay, now next subject, the Holocaust. The influence of the Sabbatean conspiracy is hidden in plain sight. For example, the term Holocaust is used without regard to its true meaning. Rabbi Antelman states that well before World War II, the term meant burnt offering, as in sacrifice. He quotes Bruno Bettelheim, who says, calling the most callous, most brutal, most horrid, most heinous mass murder a burnt offering is a sacrilege, a profanation of Yah and man. Whose sacrifice was it? For what purpose? Obviously, it has something to do with the Sabbateans' occult practice. Every time we use the word, we unwittingly join in their sacrilege. According to Antelman, the Sabbateans hated Jews and sought their extinction. He cites rabbis who warned as far back as 1750 that if the Jews didn't stop the Sabbateans, they would be destroyed by them. And indeed, when some Jews tried to save European Jewry from genocide, Antelman says, the conservative and reform communities in the U.S. went their merry way ignoring these activities. So-called establishment organizations like the American Jewish Congress, American Jewish Committee, and B'nai B'rith did virtually nothing. Intermarriage. Sabbateans only marry within their demonic sect. They often marry rich, influential Gentiles. Thus, the fourth Baron Rothschild, Jacob's mother, was not Jewish, nor is his wife. Another example is Al Gore's daughter, Karina's 1997 marriage to Andrew Schiff, the great-grandson of Jacob Schiff. Gore's father was a senator sponsored by Armand Hammer.
Armand Hammer. It's not Armand Hammer, but that is interesting,
Armand,
isn't it?
Armand Hammer, or Occidental Petroleum, whose own father was the founder of the American Communist Party. Like Hitlery and Dubaya, Al Gore is another Illuminati agent. Conclusion, mankind is in the grip of a vicious satanic cult whose power is so great they can make their war against humanity seem normal and inevitable.
That's W. That would be George W. Bush, I bet.
Hitler and W. Bush.
Al Gore is another Illuminati.
That's right.
Illuminati.
They're all related, too.
Yeah.
Even when their plot is exposed, they can convince everyone that it is racist and in bad taste to believe it. They have men fixated on porn while they erect a police state. Western society is morally bankrupt. This elaborate cult network controls politics, information, and culture. Most leaders are dupes or traitors. The intelligentsia has been bribed while the public is distracted and lives in a fool's paradise.
Hallelujah.
Like most nations and religions, Jews have been subverted from within. Zionists are pawns of the Sabbateans who use the Holocaust to engineer the creation of Israel. Millions of Jews have been sacrificed to create a Sabbatean homeland, a burnt offering to Satan. Yah gave man life, a miracle full of inherent beauty and meaning. He gave us everything we need to develop according to His plan. But people who think limitless power and wealth are better than infinite love have hijacked humanity. They want to spoil our divine rendezvous and enslave us instead. This is the real meaning of our politics and our time.
And it's nothing new under the sun. We're going to read to you some scripture from Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu. And my goodness, Yahweh is very clear about how he feels regarding what Yehuda has done. It starts in 7, Yirmiyahu or Jeremiah 7. And it's really at the end of 7, and we're just going to kind of pick through. Whoops. But the one I'm going to read from is the Jerusalem Bible, and the one that Todd will be reading from is called the Complete Jewish Bible. The reason we chose these ones is because they do a really good job of getting the feeling, the concept across. Now, we read from a bunch of Bibles all the time, so these are just a couple that we've chosen. So on 7:30, it says, "Yes, the sons of Yehuda have done what displeases me. It is Yahuwah who speaks. They have put their abominations in the temple that bears my name to defile it." Okay, then
I'll just add in here real quick. This Bible says, "Yehuda have done what is evil from my perspective. And they have set up their detestable things in the house which bears my name to defile it."
Yep, and so then we're going to go on to 8. And it's going to be like about 8:4. "You are to tell them, Yahuwah says this, if you fall, can you not stand up again? If you stray, can you never find your way back? Why does this people persist in apostasy and continuous apostasy? They cling to illusion. They refuse to come back. I have listened attentively. They're not saying what they ought to. Not one repents of his wickedness, saying, 'What have I done?' All go astray as they pursue their course, like a horse charging into battle. Even the stork in the sky knows the appropriate season. Turtle dove, swallow, crane observe their time of migration. And my people do not know the ruling of Yahuwah. How dare you say we are wise and we possess the law of Yahuwah? But look how it's been falsified by the lying pen of the scribes. The wise shall be shamed, caught out and confounded. Look how they've rejected the word of Yahuwah. So what use is their wisdom to them?" And then I'm going to skip down a little bit and go to 8:11. "All that they practice is fraud. They dress my people's wound without concern. Peace, peace, they say. But there's no peace. They should be ashamed of their abominable deeds. But not they. They feel no shame. They've forgotten how to blush. And so as others fall, they too shall fall. And they shall be thrown down when I come to deal with them," says Yahuwah. "I would like to go harvesting there," says Yahuwah, "but there's no grapes on the vine, no figs on the fig tree. Even the leaves are withered." And then when I go down to, it's 8:23. "Who will turn my head into a fountain and my eyes into a spring for tears, so that I may weep all day, all night, for the dead out of the daughter of my people?" Now into 9. "Who will find me a wayfarer shelter in the desert for me to quit my people and leave them far behind? For all of them are adulterers, a conspiracy of traitors." Remember, he's talking about Yehuda right now, guys. We're trying to show you this. "They bend their tongue like a bow. Not truth, but falsehood predominates in the land. Yes, they go from crime to crime. But Yahuwah, they do not acknowledge him. Let each be on his guard against his friend. Be mistrustful of your brother. For every brother is a supplant, and every friend a diligent slanderer. Each deceives the other. They do not speak truth. They have accustomed their tongues to lying. They are corrupt, incapable of repentance. Fraud after fraud, deceit after deceit. They refuse to acknowledge Yahuwah. And so, Yahuwah Sabaoth says this, 'Look, I will now test them in the crucible. But how am I to deal with their wickedness? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. The words they utter are deceitful. Peace, each says to his neighbor, while in his heart plotting a trap for him. Am I not to punish them for such things? It is Yahuwah who speaks, or from such a nation exact my vengeance. Yahuwah has said," I'm going down to 13, "this is because they have forsaken my law, which I put before them, and have not listened to my voice or followed it, but have followed their dictates of their own stubborn hearts, followed the Baals as their ancestors taught them. This is what Yahuwah Sabaoth, the God of Israel, says. I'm going to give this people wormwood for their food and poison water to drink. I'm going to scatter them throughout the nations, unknown to their ancestors or to them. And then I'm going to jump over, and it says, if anyone wants to boast, let him boast of this, of understanding and knowing me. For I am Yahuwah, I rule with kindness, justice, and integrity on earth. Yes, these are what please me. It is Yahuwah who speaks. See, the days are coming. It is Yahuwah who speaks when I am going to punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. Egypt, Yehuda, the sons of Ammon, Moab, and all the prophets who live in the desert. For all these nations and the whole house of Israel too are uncircumcised.
Hallelujah, Mishpachah. Keep looking up. Come back for part two.
You shall not covet.